roll the tape.
This podcast is protected by copyright and not for broadcast. See rsn.net.au for more details.
But the leader is Mill Park Maestro. Mill Park Maestro is going to lead all the way and beat Saab Quality, Shanghai Knight, and Outrider, Beef City Bo, who came from well back.
Now, on Taz Racing Talk, time to talk harness racing.
Well, over the next few weeks on Taz Racing Talk, we'll be following the lead-up to Bowtide's title defence of the Miracle Mile. And today we chat with Barry Rattray, the man who guided the Tassie champ earlier in his career. Welcome to the show, Barry.
Yeah, thank you, Shane.
Now, almost a year since Bowtide captured the headlines winning the Miracle Mile. I'm tipping it's been a whirlwind 12 months for yourself and the family.
Doesn't seem like that long ago, does it?
No, but it must have been a great thrill for you.
Oh, look, I keep saying it, and everyone's probably sick of hearing me, but just keeping the dream alive, mate.
Well, let's go back to the start, Barry. You know, you had some wonderful brood mares, including, of course, Gorsebush, the mother of Bowtide, who herself was a daughter of Barrington Lass, and you've got the likes of Queen Kerry. How much time and effort goes into selecting the right sire?
Probably not as much as you think, I don't think, Shane. The theory's pretty simple. Try and find the best, and go to the best, and hope for the best.
Hope for the best. Well, you've done exactly that with Bowtide and a few others over the years. At what point did you think to yourself that you may have something special with the betters, the like Gorsebush youngster?
Oh, look, we've always thought he was something special. Years ago, I used to bet a bit. And, been a long time since I've had 500 on my own on one first up, and he won by a head at Burnie. We thought he was pretty special all the way along, and I think, but on about two or three occasions, he's only ever disappointed us. He's been a wonderful horse.
Now, what do you think the major attributes are that makes him just that little bit more special than some of the great horses you've had over the years?
His will to win, I think. For such a small horse, his gait's perfect. He covers more ground than he deserves. He never feels like a small horse. He never had. Always had pretty reasonable speed. He's probably got stronger the more racing he's got under him. He's certainly adapted well to Menangle and Jones's training and Fear's care. He's always been a really special horse. He's always had a really special place for us.
And even more special now, quite obviously. What stage of his career did you start thinking about the mainland and some of these feature races?
He went to Melbourne as a four-year-old. We really thought he was ready to give him a shake as a four-year-old. He had a few issues then and didn't realise anything in that campaign. It was the one disappointment, the real major disappointment we've had with him. But we brought him home and put him away. And rather than rushing back, we looked after him, and it's reaped benefits now.
So his next trip was off to New South Wales. How much easier was the decision to make with the return of James from America and the fact that he didn't return alone?
Look, that's made the decision a lot easier, I suppose. We could see those MO series on at Menangle. We were going to Breeders Crown at the time. We were more than happy to send Fair with our special horse. She's a special person, and she took Bo herself. She was with Bo for the first half a dozen runs on her own in New South Wales before James decided that he needed to leave us and join her up there with Bo. So I think Fair and Bo made the move first. James only followed. I think he had to.
Yeah, it was a pretty good move, quite obviously. Give us some of the background of James's partner.
Fair, she was. We were busy trying to get a license, and we found out a lot about Fair here. She attended a Swedish college for harness racing, trotters, of course, in Sweden. But she actually had 3 years at a college for harness harness racing, of which he got through with flying colours. Whilst we were trying to get her a licence, we found a certificate, USTA, we'll say Strapper of the Year, if you like, right across America. She was honoured with that. When she left America with James, she was second trainer to one of the a Swedish guy, one of the leading trainers in America. So, they allocate, for second and third trainers. She was second trainer to that guy, and I guess the next step from that is to train in your own right in America. So, she's pretty well educated. Young lady and a lovely lady with it.
Yeah, well, a good move by James. Similar move to what you made yourself some years ago now with Denise.
I think he's almost as lucky as I've been with Denise.
I think you've answered that beautifully. Now, I think it'd be fair to say that when you went for the, basically, what was a hit-and-run mission, I guess, in New South Wales with Bo Todd for those winter championships, it was hard to see just what would come in the next couple of months after that.
Yeah, look, we're full of big ideas here, and we always have been, shoot for the sky and maybe hit the trees. But on this occasion, we shot for the skies and probably landed there, I think. All too often, we've settled for the trees, and that's been okay over the years. But for once, I think we're in orbit anyhow at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely on fire and flying at the minute. So he got on a roll after those winter championships, and he won seven straight and culminated in the Group 2 Newcastle Mile. Do you think that was the first time that people really sat up on the national scene and took notice of just what we had?
Well, surprisingly enough, some of the New South Wales guys had said to us, Darren Hancock's the one that sticks in my mind in particular, the day we got to the Miracle Mile, he said, well, you don't even bother going around, just go and get the trophy, which we thought was ridiculous. But Darren Hancock is one that said to me quite some time ago before he was in the Newcastle Mile, look, he'll just be winning in them sort of races. He'd be very competitive and he's been pretty right.
Been pretty right. You would have been pinching yourself at that point. Just how convincing was that Miracle Mile win?
Look, I've seen a lot of drives, and I've seen a lot of pressure on a lot of people and young people and that sort of thing, and had it on myself. I don't think that I've ever seen a better drive in a feature race under as much pressure as was on. I suppose it's a bit of hit and miss and a bit of luck, but it was well planned out. It was a wonderful effort on James's behalf. And I think it'd compare with any feature win and winning drive on any horse, and he hasn't made too many mistakes since.
Well, five races from that Miracle Mile, and 3 months later, he was also the Inter-Dominion champ.
Yeah, unbelievable. To think all these years we've really wanted a starter in the Inter-Dominion, to get there, it'd be bloody wonderful just to... the thing that gets me is just to be there on those premier days and actually be a bit better than them on the day seems so surreal. We can't believe it.
Now, of course, you're inducted into the Hall of Fame with some other legends of the Tasmanian harness racing recently in Launceston. That must have been a great thrill on its lonesome, but. You mentioned the speech that you made. Was it the Inter-Dominion or the Miracle Mile? Would you like to just fill us in on that?
No, I'm not sure what you're alluding to. I've said that many things over. I should shut up probably, but
I think on the night you said that you'd rehearsed it since you were about 10 and still mucked it up by the time you got there.
The speech, the Miracle Mile night, I run through my mind the sort of things I might say. Over the years, I've had a few opportunities to make a few speeches. It usually takes me two or three goes, and luckily enough, I get a couple of goes here in Tassie to get it right. But since I was 12 years old, I think I had an acceptance speech worked out for the Miracle Mile, and and as you say, still mucked it up.
Well, let's hope you get another crack at it this year. I'm sure things are heading in the right direction. Now, he's had three runs back this season, two runs, drew some doubts as to how he was progressing this year compared with last year, but his win last time out in the Nick Roben Memorial showed he's right back at his best.
Hasn't been a perfect preparation. He's had a virus and white cells up and down and mucking around. You know, it hasn't actually been perfect at that level. You know, when you're drawing outside him, and you've got one Rick going really good inside you, need to be right on top of your game. Hasn't been perfect, and getting closer all the time to perfect. I wouldn't say he's perfect yet, but he could really do with a run or two, and his white cells have seemed to have settled down now. You know, we're fingers crossed as always that it's onward and up from here.
Now, first to be invited into this year's Miracle Mile, so obviously the expectations are high, but is it some relief now that he's been officially invited? I guess as the defending champ, you always thought you'd be a chance.
Look, we're just taking those things as they come along. I don't think we really expected to get an invite as early as we did, but glad to have one. The runs this year might work out a fraction better. You know, we had 3 weeks between the Newcastle Mile and the Miracle Mile. We didn't think that was quite perfect, but he was well compensated with a trial in the middle, the results spoke for itself. Of course, they've done a really good job, James and Fia. They've done a really good job overall with everything.
Now, you mentioned how well James drove the horse and how well the pair have trained and brought the horse on. Just how valuable was that experience that James had in America, do you think?
James is pretty well educated as far as those things. We'd like to think he learned a bit here at home before he left. He then went to Tony Hurley. He spent some time with Dennis Wilson, trained with Noel Daly in America, also trained with another guy for a short period of time in America. Look, I think they're terrific bits of experience. He drove a $100,000 winner in America. You know, like he's no longer a boy, of course. He's nearly 28, 9 years old. But he's been around the world, and he's pretty well educated himself.
How much more special is it, Barry, given the fact that your whole family's involved? I mean, obviously, sometimes we see a trainer or a driver win a big race, but to have the whole family involved on such a big day, every day, basically. I mean, I see the same enjoyment, basically, from 100 metres away when you go to Burnie and won your first Burnie Cup this year with Devendra, which was a bit of a shock, thinking you'd probably won it 4 or 5 times, given the fact of how well the family supported the Burnie Harness Racing Club or Burnie Pacing Club over the years. Just how big a thrill is it to have everybody involved?
Look, Denise, from the time we got together, Denise has been really involved. She works really hard around the stables. We, as everybody knows, we've had four boys, and they're all still very actively involved. Even Adam, who doesn't play a major role in the spotlight. We wouldn't have survived in the game without the family involvement, you know. So Gareth was the first one on the phone when Bo was winning the good races. He's never missed. I don't think he's missed a beat when he's running. Even though he's moved down the coast with his partner, and Adam's beside himself here, telling everybody about how good he's going. And Todd, as you know, stable driver here. So, look, as a family, Mum and Dad went to the Indominium with us, and as a family, we've tried to keep it that way, and it's pretty much stayed that way, you know, which is great.
Yeah, well, it's been a great story over the years. Barry, we look forward to hearing more about Bo Tide and his venture to retain the title as the Miracle Cup champ and maybe even back-to-back in the Indominium. So we thank you for your time today.
Thanks, Shane.
Every Wednesday on Carnival, Taz Racing Talk with Shane Yates.
time to have a look at Jamie Cockshutt's tips for Launceston on Sunday night. 8 races on the card. Jamie away in New Zealand for the New Zealand Cup. And he's been kind enough to send through his tips for us. And if you've been following these of late, you'd be pretty happy with yourself, including the first winner is his roughie of the night in Hobart in Frankie Falzoni last week at around 25-1. So stay tuned for the best value runners for the card. But in the first, the C1 only, Jamie's gone for number one These Days for Katie McLeod to bounce back to winning form and beat 3 Cooked Books, 4 Jasper Ruler, the last Devonport winner, and number 7 Faithful Jet. So 1 to beat 3, 4 and 7 in the first. In race number 2, Jamie's gone number 3 Super Sunshine, and I noticed that a little later on the sheet he's made it one of his best value runners of the night. So Super Sunshine in race 2 for Ben Yole to beat number 1 Fashini, number 2 Territorial. They look to be the main dangers, the 1 and the 2. And then number 4, Cardinal Bill. Number 5, My Guy. And number 8, Baldock. So 3 to win over 1 and 2. And then 4, 5 and 8 in the second race. Race 3 on the card, Vander Jenkins comes up as Jamie's top pick for Heath Zipker and the informed driver Dylan Ford to beat number 6, Livia de Geraldstein for Natalie Emery. And then numbers 1, 3 and 5 on the next line, Miss Lively, Lucky Libby and also Carly Silster. 7 to win, 6 for second, 1, 3, 5 for third in race number 3. In the fourth, Jamie going for the unbeaten Cranberry number 9 for Julie Johnson and Todd Rattray. 3 from 3, can't ask for much more than that. And Cranberry is the top pick to beat numbers 2 and 3, Carralta Dazzler and Original Art. Original Art, the last start winner. 4 and 6 on the next line, No Time to Think, and Fletch Davis returning from a spell. So 9 to win over 2 and 3, then 4 and 6 in race number 4. Race number 5 kicks off the quadrilla. Jamie's gone for number 7, Clamorous from the Grant Hodges stable. Grant also taking the drive. Another one drawn outside the front line to beat numbers 1, 3 and 9. An Inch of His Life, Siski, and the stablemate to the top pick, LJ's Magic. And then number 6, Mellow Lynn, Best of the Rest, second up from a spell. So in race 5, 7 on top to beat 1, 3 and 9. And then number 6. In race 6 on the card, second leg of the quadrilla, Jamie's gone for Mill Park Maestro and making it the best bet of the night. Race 6, number 4 for Melissa Main and Gareth Rattray to beat Saab Quality in this claimer. So 4 to beat 7. Then numbers 3, 6 and 8. Shanghai Knight, Maybe Doc and Tsu Tudor. 4 on top to beat 7 and 3, 6 and 8 in race number 6. In race number 7, the third leg of the quadrilla, number 3, Rykoff Leash, the last start winner who led all the way, is the top selection to beat 5, Riverboat Jasper, another one going for back-to-back wins, Benediction, first up from the spell, and number 2, Falco Peregrinus. 3 on top to beat 5 and 7, and then number 2. And then in the last race of the program, Mick Will Rev, the smart youngster returning for Craig Hayes and Gareth Rattray, number 2, going for 3 in a row, first up from a spell, to beat number 5, He's a Prospect, runner-up last time out, and then numbers 6 and 7, Major Callum and Margin Girl. 2 the winner to beat 5, 6 and 7. Now, Jamie's put a couple of quaddies in the first quadrilla that Jamie selected in leg number 1. He's gone 1, 3, 7 and 9. 1, 3, 7, 9 in the first leg. In the second leg, 4, 6, 7, 8. In the third leg, numbers 3, 5 and 7. And in the last leg, number 2, Mick Will Rev as a standout. And it's a $48 investment for a full 100% of the div. And in the second quaddy, just if Mick Will Rev misses out, first three legs are the same. 1, 3, 7, 9 in the first leg, 4, 6, 7, 8 in the second, 3, 5, 7 in the third, and then numbers 5, 6 and 7. He's a Prospect, Major Callum and Margin Girl. Total costs $144, but you can have, of course, whatever percentage your pocket can afford, but $144 for a full 100% in that quadrilla. Now, the two best bets from Jamie, of course, all Jamie's tips are on tasracing.com.au in the punter's corner of the harness racing section. Race 6, number 4, Mill Park Maestro, and in race 8, number 2, Mick Will Rev, and a couple of real value runners. Race 2, number 3, Super Sunshine, and race 4, number 9, Cranberry.
This podcast was brought to you by rsn.net.au.